You may be seated. Here's Elijah as he comes onto the scene, and I don't know if I have a more favorite prophet in the Old Testament, Brother Heath. Elijah just comes on the scene and he tells old wicked Ahab, it's not going to rain until I say. And then God sends him to the brook Cherith. And as we mentioned, the Bible says that ravens came and brought him bread and flesh in the morning and bread and flesh in the evening. And he drank of the brook. But then all of a sudden, in verse 7, the brook dried up. The brook dried up. It's an interesting story of obedience, amen? And Elijah's life is characterized by two things, I believe, obedience and power because of obedience. By the way, our flesh does not like to obey, and all God's people said, at least mine doesn't, amen? Maybe yours does, but when that alarm clock goes off in the morning, my flesh doesn't say, zippity-doo-da, zippity-a. My flesh says, hit the snooze button, amen? Maybe yours doesn't, but amen, that's just me. The idea here of obedience is the key to this whole story. I want to give us just seven quick things that we can learn about this story, lessons from the drying brook. Number one, the first thing that the servant of God must learn is they must learn to take one step at a time. They must learn to take one step at a time. Ladies and gentlemen, the way we want the will of God is we want God to show it all to us. You know the reason why God doesn't do that is because most of us would not obey it if He did that. So He's so kind to veil tomorrow. Aren't you glad, by the way, He veils tomorrow? The things that happen to us down the road sometimes would frighten us so that we would run in a corner and hide. God has chosen to reveal His will for us one step at a time. The Bible says in Psalm chapter 37, verse 23, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. And didn't He teach us Himself as the disciples came and said, Lord, teach us to pray? Didn't He say, give us this day our daily bread? Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Brother Lem, that does not carry the idea of a spotlight, but a lantern, which illuminates the next step. Elijah didn't say, hey, what about Mount Carmel? What about when I can call down fire from heaven? Can I submit to you that if Elijah had not been obedient to that first step, he would have never prayed down fire from heaven? God gave him a strange order. Now, so why don't you go down to this brook? The ravens are going to feed you. You're going to drink of the brook, and all of a sudden it dries up. But if you look at verse 8, and it says, and the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, arise, get thee to Zarephath. That was the next step. Ladies and gentlemen, God, listen, we just have to learn to take one step at a time. One step at a time. I see Beck out there, just graduated, amen? Only God knows what's going to happen in your life. You know what I encourage you to do, young lady? Submit to Him one step at a time. One step at a time. Don't be looking way, way down the road. One step at a time. Each day. Each day you're supposed to read your Bible. Each day you're supposed to pray. Each day you're supposed to try to witness. Each day. That's it. Amen. Someone has well said it, and I like it. It's not original with me. Yesterday's gone. Tomorrow never comes. All we have is today, and it's God's present to us. Amen. Just today. One step at a time. You say, well, I failed God yesterday. Well, it's gone. One step at a time. One step at a time. So the first lesson we learn is for the servant of God, we have to learn to take one step at a time. The next lesson we learn, I believe, is we learn the lesson of the value of the hidden life. Verse number 5 says, He went and did according unto the word of the Lord, for He went and dwelt by the brook Cherith, that is before Jordan. And the ravens brought Him bread and flesh in the morning and bread and flesh in the evening, and He drank of the brook. Now, I don't think when the brook dried up that he had just been twiddling his thumbs, eating and drinking. I believe that in that time that he was communing with God. Communing with God in that hidden time. And ladies and gentlemen, by the way, I hope every day of your life, every day, that you have a hidden you want to call it your quiet time, you want to call it your devotion time, you want to call it your study time, whatever you have a hidden time with God. Because listen, ladies and gentlemen, when the trials come, and you don't know when they'll come, it'll matter. That hidden walk with God, that prayer closet of yours, that's when it matters. We're going to talk a lot about that Sunday. I'll not dwell long on this point, but when I think of the hidden life, I think of Moses on the backside of the desert, tending the sheep. I think of Paul, Galatians tells us that he was 3 years in Arabia with the Lord. I think of John, exiled to the island of Patmos, and God showed him the revelation. Amen. Think of John the Baptist alone in the wilderness. Think of our Savior alone on the mountain, communing. The value of a hidden life. Number three, something else that we see here, a lesson. We must learn to trust God wholeheartedly. Strange request. God, why did you bring me to a brook and then dry up the brook? It doesn't make any sense. By the way, when the Word of God and common sense don't agree, go with the Word of God. Amen? Listen, I remember the first time I ever read the story, Mr. Kraft, about Jericho. I was a brand new Christian, and I'm reading about this super walled city, a wall that was so thick that they could have two chariots wheel to wheel going all the way around the wall. It was just, nobody could get in there. And God said, okay, here's the plan. I want you to walk around once the first day. Walk around again the second day. Repeat as necessary. Amen. It's like a recipe. Amen. And then on the seventh day, I want you to walk around seven times, blow the trumpets, and the walls are going to go flat. And I remember reading it and almost kind of pulling back a little bit. First time I ever read it, brand new Christian. And what happened when they did that? Everything that God said would happen. The walls fell in. They say, what are you trying to tell us, Pastor Rich? Listen to me. You can trust God. You can trust God. He's not made a mistake yet. He won't start with you. He can be trusted. And Elijah trusted him absolutely. I'm sure he was at the brook. Say, I don't know why God dried the brook up, but he's got something else for me. And sure enough, right after that, sent him off to Zarephath. Trust him absolutely. You know, when I really think about this, I think about Israel. And if you're on the six-month plan here, we're in Numbers and getting into Deuteronomy here. But Israel, you know, they complained, they whined, they murmured, they, you know, we're hungry, we don't want, so God gives them manna. God gives them quails. God gives them water from the rock, and their shoes never wore out. And I got thinking about that, and you know, you read that story, and you think, my goodness, why were they always provoking God and all that? But the thing I see is that God can be trusted. God will take care of you, the song says. He's not going to lead you to a situation and then just leave you there to your own devices. Where God guides, God provides. Amen? And so we see here, number three, we must learn to trust Him absolutely. Number four, we must learn that God's servants are often called to sit by drying brooks, figuratively speaking. Can I tell you that old-time religion and fundamentalism, and by the way, that's what I am. Amen. I'm a fundamentalist. I don't make any apology for that. I know what a fundamentalist is. Amen. And I'm one. But, you know, fundamental Baptist churches, we've been by the drying brook of popularity for a long time. Old-time religion is not popular, ladies and gentlemen. It's not. 1 hour a week, convenience Christianity is very popular. I mean, a lot of people like that. But I think about the drying brook of popularity. You know, you may be called to sit by the drying brook of friendship as someone forsakes you because of your stand on the Word of God. Whatever it is, we have to understand that sometimes God calls us to sit by the drying brooks. God, listen, God may take the dearest thing you have from you. And by the way, everything is His. Amen? Listen, I don't like that any more than you do, but sometimes God comes into His rose garden and He cuts a flower and He takes it, puts it in His vase in heaven. But listen, God may call you that drying brook. What am I going to say? You can still trust God. You can still trust God. Let me give you another one. God's servants, another lesson we must learn is we must learn to follow him, to take orders. Look what it says there in verse number 2. And the word of the Lord came to him, saying, God gave him an order. God didn't say, you know, if you feel up to it, it'd be nice if you went to the brook Cherith. No, God said, go. And he went. And then look again in verse number 5. He really says, so he went and did according unto the word of the Lord. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, God gives us some marching orders in this book. There's a whole bunch of don'ts in here, and all God's people said, don't do this, don't do that. But there's some do's too. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. That's for everybody, amen? And again, I don't make any apology for saying this. Every one of us ought to have gospel tracts, amen? Every one of us ought to be witness. Why? That's a command of God. He's giving us an order. Giving us an order. Think of others. Elijah here's ordered to Zarephath, and he goes. Moses ordered to Egypt. The last place in the world Moses wanted to go, ladies and gentlemen, was back to Egypt. How about Jonah? Ordered to Nineveh. And praise God, God gave him a second chance. How about Paul, the Jew of Jews? Who did he go to? The Gentiles. Amen. We have to learn that when God says, thou shalt or thou shalt not, that means us. Amen. We have to learn to take orders. Praise the Lord for those of you that have been in the military. Your drill sergeant or your drill instructor didn't say, now look here, sweetheart. We'd really appreciate it if you would clean the garbage cans. No. And we can't say what the drill instructor would say to you if you said that. Amen. But we just know that in the military, you had to learn to take orders. And the Bible talks about Christians being soldiers. And Brother Gilbert, a lot of soldiers are AWOL. Amen. They're AWOL from church, AWOL from witnessing, AWOL in their Bible time. It ought not to be so. Amen. We need to learn. A lesson we can learn from this story is learn to take orders, learn to follow. Something else I learned from this story, number 6, is we must learn that we need God, period. We need God. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, you get at Christianity a little while and you can put on the front. You can wear the matching tie and coat and you can carry the Bible just right and you can have the shoes shined and you can play the part, so to speak. But you can be as dry as last year's bird's nest to understand, ladies and gentlemen, we need God. We've just got to have Him in our lives. Listen, I've got to have Him in my life. Number 1, for me. Number 2, for that sweet lady I married. Number 3, for those beautiful kids that God gave me. Number 4, for the church that God gave me to shepherd. And, you know, each one of us could have our own priority list of why we need God. We need Him. By the way, that's important, amen? That's important. We need to know that we need God. And by the way, He supplied Elijah's needs. And in chapter 18, he showed him great power and gave him victory. And eventually, He carried him off to heaven, amen? Because he had that realization of needing God. And by the way, that starts with a walk, ladies and gentlemen. We've got to walk with God. It's amazing how kids... young people, little babies, they help you with your sermons. Boy, did we miss the boys. I'm telling you what, this weekend, we left them in Pontiac with good friends, amen? But I'm telling you, this whole weekend, we were like, man, I can't wait to get back there, see those boys, and they're sending us pictures, and we're seeing all the stuff they're doing. But as soon as we got back, Eric, first of all, as soon as he saw me, went and he ran up to me and hugged me, and that was great. But then he says, walk, 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 walk. Walk. That means he wants to go for a walk. Amen. He wants me to hold his hand and go for a walk. Now listen. Praise God. You know, the reason why I walk with him is because he wants to walk with me. Amen. And here's the thing. He's only 2. You know, I can't go like this. Otherwise, he can't keep up. So I hold him and walk slow. Aren't you glad that God's patient with us? Aren't you glad He walks slow with us? But you know what He wants us to say to Him? Walk. Walk. I want to walk with you, God. I want to have a relationship with you. And listen, if you do that, He's a better father than me. By the way, I can't wait to walk with Eric when he says walk. You know how much better of a father is a God? Amen? You want to walk with God, He'll walk with you, but He needs you to tell Him you need Him. You have to acknowledge that in your heart. I need God. Listen, you may not need me. I hope you do. I'm your pastor. But more than anything else, you need God. You need God's blessing on your life. Number seven, let me give you the last thing I see here, a lesson we can learn from the drying brook. We must learn to take one step at a time. We must learn the value of a hidden life. We must learn to trust Him absolutely. We must learn that we may be called to sit by a drying brook. We must learn to take orders. We must learn that we need God. And lastly, I like this. We must learn to ask for a double portion. A double portion. Go to 2 Kings chapter 9. 2 Kings chapter 9. I'm sorry, 2 Kings chapter 2. 2 Kings chapter number 2. We must learn to ask for a double portion. It's an interesting story here. Verse number 8 says, "And Elijah took his mantle and wrapped it together and smote the waters, and they were divided hither and thither, so that they too went over on dry ground. It came to pass when they were gone over that Elijah said unto Elisha, Ask what I shall do for thee before I be taken away from thee." Remember, Elisha was Elijah's servant, much like Joshua was Moses' servant. And he'd seen the incredible things that Elijah had done and watched the miracles. And what did he say in the middle of verse 9? Said, "And Elisha said, I pray thee, let a double portion of thy spirit be upon me. And he said, Thou hast asked a hard thing. Nevertheless, if thou see me when I am taken from thee, it shall be so unto thee. But if not, it shall not be so." And of course, we know that he did see when Elijah was taken, and God poured out a double portion. Listen, we've got a great heritage in fundamentalism. We really do. Brother Brian and I and Heather, we had the privilege of going to Midwestern Baptist College. Dr. Tom Malone, Sr., incredible man of God. I'm not boasting, but I want a double portion. I saw what God did for Dr. Malone. I saw how God, I'd like a double portion of that, please. Amen. By the way, you go to the Thanksgiving table, it's okay to get one helping. Amen. I like a double helping. Amen. Could I have a double helping, please? Lord, here's the thing. If we don't ask, God's not going to do it. He said we don't have because we don't ask. God's servant, even by the drying brook, can say, "God, give me a double portion. Give me a double portion." You say, "Oh, that's selfish praying." Well, it is if you just want it for you. But I think most of us that would pray a prayer like that, and you're included in that, would ask not just for us, but that other people could be affected and impacted and souls could be saved and lives could be changed. We must learn to ask for a double portion. We must learn that we need God. We must learn to take orders or follow orders. We must learn that God may call us to sit by a drying brook. We must learn to trust Him. We must learn the value of a hidden life. We must learn to take one step at a time. Some lessons from the drying brook tonight. Father, bless us now as we